Well, hopefully.
I think it's working.
Hey, good job, Charlie.
Thank you for having me. My name's Tim Winchester. As Chuck said, I'm a child of God and a grateful recovery addict. So I just want to kind of share my story of how I got to find God. I'm here today by the grace and mercy of God. I had a good childhood. I grew up in a little subdivision on the southeast side of Kokomo. Had good parents, good friends. It was a great community to grow up in. But around 15 years old, you know, back in the 70s, I started smoking marijuana, which is what a lot of the friends that I was running around with did. And so, and then did a little bit of drinking. You know, that's just what we kind of did back then. The household I grew up in, we didn't have religion, and my parents wasn't into religion, so I never really knew much about religion. I always knew or thought there was a God, knew there was God, but I didn't know God. So as I started getting older, I got to be, when I turned 19, had some buddies that decided to move to Louisiana and live down there to do work. Unfortunately, the drinking age in Louisiana was 18, and I quit smoking marijuana when I was down there, but the drinking really got crazy. We drank pretty much every night because after work there wasn't much to do in Louisiana, so we drank quite a bit. Unfortunately, you know, it kind of got out of hand, I got to admit. Had some nights that probably drank more than I should have, and one night I did do that. Went into work the next day doing the job that I've done 100 times, but wasn't really of sound mind. Made a mistake and it had an accident and it cost me 3 of my fingers. But, you know, I was still grateful because if my hand would have been turned just a little bit, I could have lost all my fingers and half my hand. So at the time I was grateful that, you know, that I only lost 3 fingers. So my parents were in Tennessee on vacation. They come down there after I got out of the hospital, picked me up, and I came back to Kokomo. The bad thing was is that now I'm 21. My workman's comp settlement, they in Louisiana, they don't give it to you in a lump sum. They pay you weekly. So I was getting $175 a week, and I didn't have to work. So that kind of fueled my addiction still. I got into quite a bit of drinking, got back to smoking, doing a dabbing in here, dabbing there, things that I shouldn't have been doing, but I didn't know no better at the time. Luckily, after about 5 years of that, I met my first wife, which was awesome because then that made me stop the drinking to start a family, but still, unfortunately, kept smoking marijuana because that, you know, was something to do, you know, just helped calm me down. So that went on for a few years until, after about 5 years, my wife asked for a divorce, and I didn't take things like that good. You know, it was like, you know, another setback. So unfortunately, when things like that happened to me, I would fall back to the drinking and doing the more drugs. So I was still smoking, drinking a little bit heavier. I've been a city employee for over 38 years. No matter what, I was always still able to do my job and to be the public servant that I was hired for. But then it came, CDLs came in effect. So that meant that it was time to put the marijuana away because we would be drug tested quarterly. So kind of went back to drinking a little more on and off. That went on for a few years. Then the problem happened when the big thing, you know, I hurt my back at work and was prescribed pain pills. And, you know, I can't say enough about people that's, you have to watch with that stuff. Not only did I like it at first, because, you know, now I'm not smoking marijuana, I'm just drinking, but the pills actually made you feel good. But they're so addictive, and you get addicted so easy to them, you know. And here I am still, I don't have God in my life. So I know I'm not leading the right life, but I really didn't know it at the time. You know, I'm just going on doing what I want to do, you know. And the pills lead to a severe addiction. I ended up getting recommended to a clinic out west, was completely overprescribed pain medicine, and then it gets to where you're not, people say, well, you know, all you want to do is get high. When you're on them like that, after so long, you're not getting high. You're just doing them so that you can function, so that you can get sick. People say, well, why can't you just quit? Well, I wish I could have. But you get so sick that you can't do nothing. It's like the flu 10 times. So, unfortunately, you know, that stayed on the path. You know, there would be times at work and things that would happen that I would be in a trench. You know, when I started at the union at the city, I worked on sewers. And you'd be in a trench with no shoring, because when I started, we didn't have shoring. And you'd take a step, you know, after removing, and then the bank would cave in. And you'd think, well, that's life. You know, it's not realizing that, you know, there's really no such thing as luck. But I really wasn't thinking of that at the time. I kept thinking, well, I got lucky, you know, or you're driving, and I would drive through a busy four-way stop because I'm thinking about the next job, and luckily nobody was there. So I'm thinking luck again. I'd had a couple dogs I had to put down from illness. Was never going to get another dog. My son had, Rottweiler had puppies. I said, nope, not doing it. And then he called me the day before and says, hey, they're going to start coming putting deposits down. You're going to take one. And I went to say no, and I couldn't say it. It wouldn't come out of my mouth. And then I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. So, you know, here I am, my age, trying to raise a little puppy Rottweiler, which was, I'm glad I did, because I'll get to that. But so, unfortunately, the clinic gets shut down. You know, it's the government changes the rules, and the pain pills stop. So you got to try to go through the sickness, and unfortunately, I'm not proud of a lot of the things I did, but I'm not going to be ashamed of it anymore, because I found out there was a lot of people just like me, and I did really well at hiding it. I mean, I don't think most of the people I worked with maybe had an inkling, but I don't think that they knew for sure that I was. And like I said, I was never high at work. I just did just enough whatever so that I could work and not be sick. So the pain clinics start shutting down, and they were harder to get, but I still needed them. So unfortunately, I went to the street and started getting them from the street. You know, they started out, you could get them for $2-3 a piece. Well, as the demand got harder and harder to get, the price went up and up and up. And then it got to where I couldn't afford them. But yet I knew I had to have something, because I still had to function at work. I couldn't be what they call dope sick at work. I had to be there. So unfortunately, I decided to make the choice of switching to fentanyl powder. And I would snort just a little bit of amount so that I wouldn't be sick, so that I could function at work. And I always felt that I was a functioning addict, that I was never high. I did my job. I started out as a bus driver, and I worked my way up to assistant street commissioner at the street department. So I felt I've done what I'm supposed to do, but still in the back of my mind, I'm still not right. You know, I'm still doing these things, and I'm not finding God in my life. And what am I doing wrong? You know, but you just can't stop. And so, unfortunately, that led to a 2-year addiction. And then one day I got off work. I'll never forget 3:13. I got off work, thought I'd, you know, do a little bit so I wouldn't be sick. And then next thing I know, my kids are trying to move me, and I'm on the ground. So I'm actually ODing for my first time. But with the dog, so if I was in my chair, and if I ignored him or wasn't doing something, he'd start barking. And then if I didn't stop him, my son would come out. Well, when I was sitting there in the chair ODing, my dog knew something was wrong. And so he kept barking, and then that's when my son came out and found me. So then that was another sign. I'm like, that wasn't luck. You know, I couldn't spit no out of that for that dog. So that was God. I believe he put that dog in my life because that dog saved me, or I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have that dog. It's just a crazy story. So as they're trying to get me moving, and I mean, I'm limp. I can't talk, and I'm just laying there. But then I start having a vision. It's your subconscious. And so all I could see was just bright red, and there was these black rings around them, which looked like a pitchfork. And you're thinking, because you can think in your subconscious, and I'm thinking, is this Satan? Am I not going to make this? Is this it? And so I was able, and I couldn't talk, but somehow I spit out Narcan. And so my son hits me with the first shot of Narcan. And then that red started going away. And all I could see was blue sky and clouds. And I thought, man, that's God. He's fighting for me. And then it stopped. And then it went all back red. And I thought, but he tried. I lived the wrong life. So this is my punishment, I feel. You know, that I'm being punished. But so somehow I was able to say again. I don't know how, but the words again came out of my mouth. And he hit me with the second Narcan. And then that red was gone. All I could see in my eyes is just blue. It's blue skies and clouds. And I thought, okay, God is truly fighting for me. And I never really understood if there was a Satan, but I did right then. And I knew right then, if I make it through this, my life is going to change. I don't know how, but I'm going to figure it out somehow. So they called 911. I don't remember the ambulance ride. I woke up in an emergency room. Was there for probably 6 hours. They released me. I get home. Next day, my son comes over. We decide, where are we going to send me? Well, he said, we're going to have a meeting tomorrow with my boss and HR director, and we're going to make that decision. And thank God. I thank God every day for that.
Amen.
So I was thinking a 30-day program, and I'd be fine. And I don't think that would have worked. So when I went to this meeting, luckily, my son's boss is Tory Rowe, and his cousin is Graham Rowe, that works at the Valley of Grace, which is a faith-based program, a 90-day program. And they said, this is where you need to go. And I said, let's go, sign me up. So he gets me in the car, and he takes me out there, and I walk in, and Graham looks at me, and I must have looked like I was dead, because he looked at my son and said, no. You need to take him to the emergency room, admit him to Trinity, and he needs to detox. So, that's God again. So, I go, they take me there, I get admitted, and I go to Trinity. The next morning, they find me unconscious. All I remember is I feel people moving me, but I can't say anything, I can't hear, I can't talk. And then all of a sudden, it's like my ear opens up and I hear cardiac crash crew, Trinity stat. Well, I used to work at a hospital. I knew what stat meant. And I thought, somebody's in trouble. Not thinking it's me, you know. So the next thing I know, I feel like I'm flying. The wind is blowing across me. I don't remember getting put on a gurney. They rushed me to wherever they took me. I still don't know where I was at. It's still the same thing. It's I can't hear or speak. And then all of a sudden I hear, come on people, we're losing. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't make it. God tried, but you know, my heart is not going to make it. It's just giving out on me. So I remember I was it was like a gray area, a gray box. And I could see a pin light. And I thought, okay, maybe God's going to take me. Maybe I'm not going to have to go to heaven. You know, to hell for what I've done, you know, for the lifestyle I chose to live. And then the next thing I know, it's like my ear opened up again, and I hear, okay, people, we got him back. Let's not lose him again. And then I don't remember nothing until I woke up in a bed I had my own room. They kept me there for 3 days, kept me sedated. Graham Rowe picked me up, took me out to the Valley of Grace. And like I said, I'd never opened a Bible. Like I said, I grew up with no religion. So, like I said, I always thought there was a God, knew there was a God, but I didn't know him. So, I get out there and I'm just exhausted. So, for 2 days, I just lay in bed. You know, I had 11 guys out there, 11 guys. They have 12 at a time. So I had some really good rehab brothers that was trying to help me. Hey, do you need something? You know, I had a roommate that, hey, you need anything to drink? You need anything to eat? Nah, man, I just need to lay here. So the third day, I finally got enough energy to walk, and I knew it was time. So I walked over to the chapel, got to the altar in front of the cross, and I gave myself to God. Amen. You know, that place absolutely, in God, and that place absolutely has changed my life. I realize now that God is good. He's merciful. He's grace. He showed me so much grace. The things that He's taught me, the valley taught me how to read a Bible, how to understand that Bible. I took Tom's here, great guy here, taught me Bible study and was teaching me. I would read things and not understand them, and Tom would explain them to me and do it. It was just, the place is just awesome. So I don't know if anybody ever has to go through that, but that a faith-based place is the way to go. It saved my life. And how I truly, really started knowing that God is so good is through prayer. So I had a roommate, and he was in there with me. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and he was only given a couple of years to live. And we prayed every day for him. Every day we prayed for him. And he graduated 2 weeks before me, stayed an extra week, and then he left the week before I left, before I was going to graduate. And I'll never forget that day. They come in and they said, Rooster went to the doctor and he's got a clean bill of health. His cancer is in remission. Yeah. So that's how great God is that now I know that when you give your prayers and you keep praying, I love you, brother. That God will answer our prayers. Amen. So I appreciate you guys having me. Let me ramble on, but that was the message I want to share, that it took me years. And I don't look back and wish I would have found it sooner, because that wasn't my plan. That wasn't God's plan. I had to go through what I had to go through to get to where I'm at so that now I can be a God-fearing man. And it took me a long time. But I'm there, and I'm never looking back. I don't look back at my past. I only look forward. Yeah. So I want to thank you guys for allowing me to talk and share my story. And I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. What did God say to you today? How did He speak to you through His testimony? Share at your table. Give a witness of what you've got out of today.